This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Avoid Probate with Jason Laidler, heard every Sunday at 8 a.m. on Zoomer Radio. Welcome to the program with a unique focus on helping Canadians avoid probate. The one thing everyone should know about probate is that it's not inevitable. With some planning and good advice, you can avoid the exhausting, expensive, and time-consuming probate process and have your affairs settled quickly and privately. Speaking of good advice, here are your hosts of Avoid Probate.
Good morning, Zoomer listeners. Welcome to the Avoid Probate Show on this Sunday morning. Glad you're joining us. I'm Jason Laidler here with Ted Walshen and Debbie Stanley. Good morning, Ted and Debbie. How are you today?
We're good. You?
Good. What's going on, Debbie?
It's good. It's another glorious day.
It is.
July.
Yeah.
Welcome to July and the day after Canada Day.
The Saturday of the summer.
Yeah. Did you enjoy Canada Day yesterday? Did you have fireworks in your neighborhood?
Happy belated Canada Day. Yes, of fireworks? Course. My dog doesn't enjoy the fireworks. The big German Shepherd's a big baby when it comes to thunder and fireworks.
Mine is okay with thunder, but not fireworks. He hides in the basement under the coffee table.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of dogs get freaked out with both, and there's movements afoot in many different municipalities to ban fireworks in general. There's all the wildfires that are going on right now across the country. Fireworks is a scary thing to consider, you know,
because
of the really dry areas. I mean, it doesn't take much to get some started, and then boy, it takes off like crazy.
Well, and you got those clowns firing them off on the TTC as well.
Well, there's always fools that ruin good things for everybody. But we'll see as we move on. Meanwhile, last Sunday we all had a great time. We were out in Pouce Lynch, Ontario, which is just a few minutes outside Guelph. At the Sunrise Therapeutic Writing and Learning Center, they had a fundraiser going on with a beautiful, beautiful lunch and silent auction and live auction, raising money for the various programs. And the people got a chance to go into barns and check out the beautiful horses and talk to the people who work there, and also to some of the kids who are involved in the various programs. When you look at the title of the establishment, Sunrise Therapeutic Writing and Learning Center, there is so much more to it. I mean, they have a therapeutic writing lessons for children and adults. There's Camp Sunrise, which is a horse day camp for kids 8 to teens. That's Farm awesome. Discovery Camp for kids from 5 to 8. Little Breeches Club, which is an introduction to horses for children 4 to 7, which happens every Saturday in the spring and fall. Leader in Training Summer Programs for 13 to 16-year-olds. Life Skills Day Program for 18-plus. Equine Assisted Learning, Leadership and Personal Development Activities with Horses. Residential Instructor Training School. Volunteer training as well, and they're in the process of building a massive complex, which will be a residence for people, because they get lost. Kids suffering from various afflictions, once they get to a certain age, they're out of the system.
Yeah,
and if the parents have passed, these kids have really nowhere to go, and in many cases, they get assigned to long-term care facilities, seniors' homes, right?
Yep. Not
so you imagine a kid who's got like cerebral palsy, for example, or they're autistic, and they're 20 years of age, and now they're living with people who are three, four times their age, in the latter stages of their lives. I mean, what kind of a way is that for kids to grow up? So they're embarking upon this massive project, and boy, such wonderful people, and we want to thank everybody. I mean, we met so many different people. I mean, Jim and Donna Christie were really our go-to people. They were our guests, and And they're just such wonderful people.
Yeah. It was an incredible facility. I was blown away. It's just stunning. I mean, it was a beautiful day.
Yeah.
The rain held off. It was hot. And it was a stunning facility. I mentioned last week, I'm not really a horse guy, but I got up close and pet the horses, and they were just magnificent creatures. It's just amazing. They're so gentle. You know, the big eyeball looking at you there. It's crazy how amazing it is, right?
Yeah, they were so sweet. I was trying to figure out how to bring one of them back in my SUV, but I didn't think it was going to work. But what I really appreciated was spending that afternoon and learning more about Sunrise. Being living in Guelph, you hear about Sunrise a lot, but I've never been to the facility before. And it really touched my heart to learn about the facility, that capital project that they're doing, because I think I'm guilty of this. We think of the children and the programs they need. And I've never really thought about it past when they become a young adult, what types of programs and supports are there. And that really struck a chord with me. And I think that's a fantastic initiative that they are doing.
Yep,
for sure. We'll talk about it again, I think, in time, especially as the project gets closer to fruition. I got to share a quick story, though, about the afternoon with regard to the live auction. I didn't think I was going to participate, and just going to set this up for the listeners. It was in under a tent, just in case it did rain. One of those great big event tents. It was huge. And round tables all over the place. So, of course, at some point, someone's got their back to something, and I had to turn my chair to see the podium, to see the auctioneer. And then I think, Debbie, you said you were familiar with the auctioneer. The auctioneer was great and amazing prizes. And I thought, oh, I'm not going to be participating in any of this. But then there was this one prize, and it's a flight. It's a flight in a – it's a mock – not mock. What do you call it? Like a replica. It's a replica World War One biplane.
Softness.
Yeah. And you get to go up in this plane out of the Air Museum in Hamilton.
That's Great War Flying Museum.
Good, yeah, thank you. And I thought, well, that'd be pretty neat. I would love that experience. So I had my back to the rest of the table where Ted's sitting and Debbie's sitting and Debbie's daughter and son-in-law and granddaughter. And
oh, no, not my.
That would be my daughter.
Oh, sorry, Ted's Ted. No, thank you for sorry, Debbie. Anyway, I got my back to the table and I'm looking at the auctioneer and this thing comes up. And I thought, okay, I'll give it a spin. Put my card up there, my number. And yeah, okay, recognizes my number. And then points to somebody like right behind me. And I'm like, oh, I'm competing with somebody. I wonder who that is. Well, who was it? It was Debbie Stanley. I turn around, there's Debbie Stanley. I'm like, what are you doing? She goes, well, I didn't know that you wanted to buy this.
I'm sitting there watching this thinking, why are these people bidding against each other at our table?
Yeah. Tough crowd, man.
Yes. I ended up losing for the listeners. I thought, well, Jason
she graciously bowed out, thankfully, because she kept driving the price of this thing up higher and higher and higher.
It was for charity.
Yeah. Now, this aircraft, this is an open cockpit, right?
Like, yeah.
So I was telling Jason I was going to get one of those white silk scarves, you know, that he can wrap around his neck. And so he looks like Snoopy, right?
Yeah.
Snoopy versus the Red Baron. So that little cartoon, right? That's going to be quite an experience. You would not catch me up there. I have a problem with heights to begin with. So, like, to get into one of those things up there, not a chance.
And just to be accurate, it's the rear facing gunner seat behind the pilot. So rear facing, it's going to be crazy.
Oh, so you're not even looking at the, you're not facing the direction that you're flying.
My understanding is it's the rear facing gunner position.
Wow.
Yeah. And
that's actually why I was bidding on it, because it was my husband's grandfather's position when he was in World War II. Wow. So I thought that'd be really interesting because of that seat. So that's why we ended up in a bidding war, because I was thinking of it.
Oh, is that what happened?
Okay. Yes.
I have till the end of September to go for my joyride.
Yeah. So I imagine you don't want to be up there in the January.
No, I don't think it's an option. So
yeah, I don't think so. There were also auctioning off opportunities to sponsor a horse. They figure it costs about $5,000 a year to keep these horses.
Yeah.
Which that of course accounts for medical care and for fooding for food and
training, all that.
The whole deal. It's about $5,000. Somebody bid $10,000 to sponsor one horse.
It was amazing. There was so much generosity there.
There was so much generosity. It was quite amazing. I mean, and if you have any interest in horses at all, or you know somebody who could benefit, check them out. It's again, it's Sunrise Therapeutic Riding and Learning Center, and if you go online, you'll be able to find them very, very, very easily, and get a chance to go out and check out the great work that they do there. And kudos to all the people there who, the volunteers and the people who do work there on a full time basis. It's so nice to see that people are there to take care of those who are in need. So
I will be back for sure.
Yeah. And right, we will be back too. We're going to take a break, and Deb's going to stick around with us, of course, because we will continue with this is episode number 2, actually, of solving the probate puzzle. Stay with us.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this. This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of avoidprobate.ca.
And welcome back once again. This is the Avoid Probate Show with Ted Wallison, Jason Laidler, and Debbie Stanley from ETP Canada remains with us because this is her segment. Now, when I said episode number 2, what I meant was this is file number 2 in our weekly installments of solving the probate puzzle, because we finished with Mr. Chips, and now we've moved on to file number 2. Bring us up to date, Deb.
Okay, so file number 2 is the estate of Roxy Moo, which is in honor of my last dog who passed away. And in this estate, I am actually the executor. So we're looking at this from the perspective of the executor's eyes. The client had named me in their as their executor when they were doing their estate planning. So this was already pre-set up. It wasn't an after-the-fact thing. In this particular case, we have the death that occurred at the end of May, and we have a condo, investments, and an online bank, which I had mentioned before. I've never actually heard of this particular online bank, and we are still dealing with that. We're still trying to track down somebody to talk to at this online bank. So this will be an adventure.
And it's 2 for 2 or 0 for 2 with the online banks as far as dealing with your estate files. Mr. Chip's estate, and you had a problem with an online bank. Just to bring the listeners up to speed here. Yeah.
Yeah, two accounts, two different online.
Yes. And we had 2 different experiences with those 2 online banks. And we've dealt with those banks before, so I was familiar with what we should probably expect and the red tape we would encounter. This one is an entirely new ballgame because we've actually never dealt with this bank. It's proving very difficult to even find someone to talk to, because an online bank is not somewhere you can just walk into and find a manager or someone. So this is actually proving to be a whole new adventure. Yeah. We will have to see how that pans out. But as of right now, we have struck out on everything. The funny thing is there's no statements. It's not even like I can find a statement. Everything was online, so there's nothing printed. The family is saying, you know, let's try over here, let's try over there. But keep in mind, the 2 beneficiaries, the children, one's in the UK and one's in Florida. So it's not like they're here with me going through paperwork. Right. So this is me going through the condo trying to find perhaps where my client has left this information. And so far, we haven't found it.
I want to touch on something you said a minute ago, Debbie. Interesting. I think I know what you meant, but I think we should expand it for the listeners. When you said that you were named as the executor in the will, you know, while the person was alive, as opposed to after the fact. And I think what you're referring to there is, you know, you are providing professional executor services, and often you're not the person named originally, but you get hired by the family, right, to act as an executor.
Right.
And that's what you mean by after the fact.
Yes. Right. So that's a great clarification. Most of the times our clients have done the estate plan and they have named us in the will. However, sometimes families find us and perhaps the deceased didn't have a will, or they had one, but the children are again out of the country. So they will in fact renounce their claim, which is basically saying, no, I don't want to be the executor. They sign a form and they consent to our appointment. And there's some additional paperwork. We have to swear an affidavit as to why we are coming out of nowhere to be the executor. But that happens as well, where the families are really at a loss of what to do. Someone can't take it on. And then they find us as one of the options.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you don't need to be a lawyer. You don't have to hire a lawyer. Sometimes a lawyer is needed, of course, but sometimes it's not. And then, you know, that's where Debbie Stanley at ETP Canada can take care of the work for you, because she's not a lawyer. You're not a lawyer, but you don't need to be. And that's what most people don't realize that. I also wanted a comment. It's interesting that I meant to say this last week. You know, you were named as the executor while this person was alive. I don't have that luxury. Not that I want it. I've said many times, you don't want to be an executor in Ontario if you can help it, frankly. It's an onerous, usually thankless, stressful job that can last for months and months and months, as we know from Mr. Chip's file. But it's not, I'm not allowed. The regulators won't let me be an executor. And I was just reading about, just happened by coincidence, an article where an advisor was, he was fined and he was lost his license for, I think, 8 months, if I'm not wrong, about 8 months or something. He was penalized, not because he was acting as an executor, but because his spouse was acting as an executor for one of his clients. So not only can I not act as an executor for my client, my spouse can't either. It's a conflict of interest.
Really? Even if it's for a family member, like if that's, it was for you. Really?
Yes.
Well, isn't that interesting?
Yes.
I'm sure you're pretty disappointed with that.
I'm not really disappointed with
that. No, I know you're not, because I know this. You don't want to be an executor. You've pointed that out many times. Although, you know, I mean, I know people who have been executors, and it's not always a hellish experience. It can be, but it's not always. But think about it when you're asked. And the best suggestion, I think, and we brought this up a while ago, was if you appoint someone, appoint a backup, and the backup in many cases, in my suggestion, would be somebody like Debbie, or Debbie, exactly like Debbie at ETP Canada, because they're the experienced people. They know what they're talking about. So,
And the fact is, if you've called, if you're using the services of avoidprobate.ca, and if we're moving money out of the banks and credit unions over to the insurance company and putting beneficiaries on it, this is all part of estate planning. This is estate planning stuff. And if we take care of all this stuff, yes, you still need an executor, but the job of the executor becomes much simpler. Like, to Debbie's point, she can't get in touch with anybody at this virtual bank. Well, that's not an issue when you run into the insurance company and you've got a beneficiary on it and you've got Jason's phone number and you know, your child calls and says, "Mom passed away, Jason, what do I do?" And we walk you through the process, and it's very simple, because it is a simple process to settle the estate at the insurance company. It doesn't require any probate. It's very straightforward. It doesn't cost anything. Very quick. And so that's another aspect of how we're trying to make the executor's job easier. No virtual banks, if I had my choice.
It does pose a certain challenge to things. In this particular case, our listeners may be wondering why I knew nothing about this particular bank too, because when our clients name us as an executor, we do have an onboarding process where we meet with our clients, we go over their assets so that we have an idea and we're not in this situation. We did know about this particular bank, or not this bank, but the bank she was using. However, she decided that she wanted to try out this online bank and didn't tell us that she switched over from a brick and mortar bank to this online bank. So when we came on the scene, we were actually expecting a different bank account. And lo and behold, she made a change. So if you are making any changes, whether it's a professional executor or a family member, friend, doesn't matter. Just make sure that you are sharing information, especially something that large of a change, changing from brick and mortar to online, is significant. You don't have to give all the account number and balances, but at least just let them know, hey, I'm thinking about doing this, because that was a little bit of a surprise on our end.
Right.
Bet you it happens all the time, Debbie. You know, people make these changes and don't even think to let the executor know.
Yes, it does happen. Luckily, we do annual check-ins. So we meet with our clients and say, is anything major changed? In this particular case, our client had passed away before her anniversary date with us. Mm. So we had not gotten to the point of updating and checking in to see if there was any major changes. So again, it was a surprise on our end.
Can I ask, is there a safety deposit box in the estate?
No, not in this estate.
Okay.
I have had it before, and they are definitely difficult to deal with. You have to wait until you get your certificate of appointment in order to deal with the safety deposit box, or at least the ones that I've dealt with.
Yeah, but if that's the case, and I believe you, of course, then you're going to probably have to make an adjustment to the probate tax.
Yes, and I'm glad you brought that up, because in this particular case, we're actually moving along pretty smoothly. I know that we're on week, what is it, 4 of this file, and it's actually a little bit longer than that as well, if we count it from date of death. However, because we've hit this hurdle with this online bank, we're deciding to move forward with probate on the assets that we do have values for and putting a guesstimate on this online bank. So we will have to do an adjustment. So it doesn't fall just for a safety deposit box. Sometimes it's better to get the process going with the information you do have, get probate moving, especially we are dealing, we're in Mississauga, so we're dealing with the appeal court. It's not a terrible wait time. We're not dealing with Toronto, but it's still a wait time. It's still a big city court. So in this particular case, we're choosing to go with the family's best estimate of the online bank and then adjusting once we're finally able to get the accurate number.
Yeah. So just to summarize what Debbie's talking about, I mentioned, you know, you have to make your probate payment in advance. You know, when you submit the application, you're making your payment, but you don't know most of the time accurately what the total value of the estate is. So how do you make a payment of 1.5% on an unknown number? And getting back to my point about the safety deposit box, well, people normally have safety deposit boxes to protect stuff of value. I get it. There's documents in there too, maybe passport, things like that, but usually stuff of value. And so if it has value and you can't even see what the value is until the probate's been issued, by definition, you have to make an adjustment to the number. And that's just more paperwork as well. And if you're paying, you know, for a lawyer to do this work, it's more legal fees.
Yep. More steps, more paperwork, more money, more fees.
Yeah. Crazy stuff.
All right. Any questions for Debbie can be directed to her website. Well, you should go to her website to begin with, because she's got this great course, right, Debbie?
Yeah, so we have Executor Ready, which is Canada's favorite executor course, of course. Yeah. And that can be found at www.executorready.ca. We can also be found at etpcanada.ca. Any questions can be directed to 866-309-0387. And our email is info@etpcanada.ca.
All right. We'll say goodbye and wish you a pleasant July the 2nd.
Thanks, Debbie.
Happy July.
All right, we'll talk to you next Sunday. When we return, Ontario's estate audit rules, keeping executors honest. Stay with us.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this.
Hi there, this is Jason Laidler from the Avoid Probate Show, and I'm pleased to say I'm having a quick conversation to introduce my friend Paul Portman from Portman Law, who is a regular contributor to the Avoid Probate Show. He's one of the lawyers on the team at avoidprobate.ca. Paul, how are you?
Good, Jason. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. So you're one of the lawyers on the team because you have an expertise in law, specifically in what part?
So I specialize in estate law, litigation, and bear trusts. I do quite a bit of work in that area.
And I'm glad you mentioned bear trust, because we often talk on the Avoid Probate Show about how a bear trust can help avoid the probate on property, correct?
That's right.
And it's widely misunderstood, but it's something that you're able to help our listeners figure out and avoid the probate on their house, cottage, commercial property, whatever it might be, right?
That's correct, yeah.
And how does it work? Like, in a nutshell, the way the bear trust is set up, tell us real quick.
Yeah, so a bear trust in a lot of ways is like any other trust agreement. The major difference between a regular trust agreement and a bear trust is that the bear trustee doesn't really have any powers in relation to the trust. They can't really do anything other than what's explicitly in the bear trust agreement. And the bear trust agreement doesn't say anything other than they're holding legal title.
So really, it doesn't change anything. It doesn't create a tax event. It just simply avoids the probate nightmare.
That's correct.
Okay, and if listeners want to contact you directly, I mean, they can always reach you through us at avoidprobate.ca, but if they want to contact you directly, the best way to reach you is what?
They can contact me by email at paul@portmanlaw.ca. That's PORTMANLAW.ca. Or they can contact me by telephone at 647-527-5878.
And it doesn't have to be a bear trust question in particular, any estate question, you can help them out, correct?
That's right.
All right, well, thanks for being here today. And I know you've been a guest on the show in the past, and hopefully you'll be a guest in the future, and we will continue to work together to help all the listeners at AM 740 Zoomer Radio who have any estate planning questions, they can call Jason Lather or they can call Paul Portman directly.
This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Lather of avoidprobate.ca.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Avoid Probate Show with Ted Wallison and Jason Lather. And the information we provide for you in this program is for general consumption only. It's not intended to provide particular legal or investment advice. So every situation being different, you should check with legal and investment specialists. We have them on board. Experts they are, and you can access them. Email us at info@avoidprobate.ca. info@avoidprobate.ca, or you can call us toll free. That number 1-844-667-7628. Once again, 1-844-667-7628. So you have two options there. You can call that number, or again, you can email us info@avoidprobate.ca with your questions and your comments. And if you need an expert, we'll turn you on to one. Absolutely. Jason.
Yeah, thanks, Ted. So I came across this article doing some work for the show, which we do every week here on the Avoid Probate Show. We actually do put some work into it. And this article is called Ontario's Estate Audit Rules Keep Executors Honest, written by Rudy Mazzetta. We've referenced his work in the past, so we'll reference it again. Rudy Mazzetta drafted this article. I think I found it on a website called Advisor's Edge, if I remember correctly. I search a whole bunch of them, industry websites. What I liked about it, why I picked it, you know, this is the Avoid Probate Show. We're helping people avoid the probate process, which is that unpleasant, I almost said a bad word there, the unpleasant court process you need to go through before you can begin to settle the estate of a deceased person. Of course, we just heard from Debbie Stanley in her weekly update. You know, she's going through the process, and this time she's the executor. So it's a bit of a different spin on things, which is interesting, I hope, for the listeners. It is for me, that's for sure. But I feel like, you know, part of our job here every week, and when we're meeting with new people face-to-face, we do that. We provide no-charge consultations, either in person or over the phone. So don't hesitate to call or email us if you're interested in learning more. It's different, right? When we're in your house and we're having a face-to-face conversation and you're there with your sister or your neighbor or your kid or all of the above, it's a different, obviously, setting, and it's a different sort of exchange of information. It's certainly more thorough than what we can cover on the radio. But the message, what I'm getting at, is, you know, we're constantly trying to convince people why should they be trying to avoid probate, right? If you don't really know what probate is, Ted, then you wouldn't know why you should avoid it.
Correct.
Right? It doesn't make sense. So we're doing two things. We're trying to teach people what it is and what it isn't. So much misinformation out there. Holy cow. I mean, the things I had a meeting with somebody recently, a new person, and she was talking about how the inheritance her daughter was going to receive was going to be taxed to her daughter. And I said, I'm not sure what you're talking about. And she goes, oh, yeah. It's, I got to be careful how much I leave behind because I don't want it to affect her tax bill. And I had to explain to her, it's not taxed. You know, inheritances in Canada, maybe this is worth repeating, inheritances in Canada are tax-free. And despite the persistent myth, there is no maximum. You know, there's no maximum amount that you can leave behind. There's some very, very wealthy people in the country, and they leave behind a lot of money, millions, if not in some cases, billions, I would think. I guess if, you know, when Ted Rogers passed, Ted, that's got to be $1 billion-plus estate, right?
I would imagine. Sure.
Yeah. And he's not the only person in that category. It's not a long list of billionaires in Canada at the moment, but it's growing. I think I heard or read somewhere that China now has 1 billion billionaires. No, that can't be right. Maybe it was 1 million millionaires. There's 1 million millionaires or 1 million billionaires. Anyway, a lot of money in China, of course, because there's a lot of people there. But here, we're trying to explain what the probate process is as briefly as we can in an hour without getting too down and dirty. You know, it is the court process. It takes a long time. There is a fee associated with it, the 1.5% probate fee based on the value of the estate on the date of death. That's the fee that you pay to the province. I can talk about that again in a minute. But this article, I think, did a pretty good job of explaining why you want to avoid it. So let me jump in here without rambling on any further. So it starts off by saying that the Ontario government has broad auditing powers and can impose onerous penalties on executors if an estate's value has been underreported for probate tax purposes, even if those powers are seldom used. Now, I don't know. I'd love to know how often these audits take place. I wonder if that information is available maybe through a, freedom of information request, something like that. I might try to do that to see if we can get an idea of just how frequent these audits are. I know they're relatively infrequent, but I know they happen. So let's just assume they happen. Goes on to say that audits can be very costly and delay the administration of an estate, even if no additional probate tax is ultimately assessed. So you may have got it all right the first time, or your executor or your lawyer. Most people are not doing this work. Most people are using a professional to do the work for obvious reasons. They don't know how to do it, and I get it. So even if that person got it all right, you know, an assessment still can be lengthy and expensive. Ontario introduced the Estate Information Return, also known as the EIR, the Estate Information Return, back in 2015 when they revamped the rules over concerns that some executors, also known as estate trustees, could be underestimating the value of estates in order to pay less probate tax. So what does that mean? In a translation, they tweaked the rules. Well, maybe tweaked is an understatement. They totally revamped the process back in 2015. Because if you were underestimating the value of the estate, then you were underpaying. So, you know, it is what it is. It's a cash grab. So by making these changes, they increased revenues. It's a tax, and a tax is a source of revenue for the province. Remember, it's a provincial matter. It's not a federal matter. It's a provincial matter. So in order to pay less probate tax, they made these because people were cheating, sort of. I shouldn't say cheating, but maybe stretching the truth a little bit. So Ontario charges a 1.5% probate tax, like I said, properly known as the estate administration tax, also known as the EAT, EAT, estate administration tax. That's the formal word for it, on the value of an estate above $50,000. So important to make the distinction. There's no EAT, there's no probate tax payable on estates worth less than $50,000. But amazingly and frustratingly, the bank can still require you to go through the probate process, which makes no sense to me. Well, it does in a sense, because we know that the bank is requiring probate to protect them, to protect themselves, to protect them from getting sued by somebody in case they make a mistake, i.e. pay some money out to the wrong person. It has happened. But on amounts less than $50,000, I mean, how big is the lawsuit going to be? It can't be more than $50,000. I get it. Nobody wants to get sued for 50 grand. But, you know, in a way, that's a drop in the bucket for the banks. And we're making multi-billion dollar quarterly profits. But that can happen. So we've talked about that before. You know, you got to be careful how much money is in your checking account. Because if it's 40,000 bucks, and that's the entire value of your estate, even though you don't pay anything to the province on an estate worth less than 50, you can still have to go through the probate process and hire someone to file this new EIR, the estate information return, have it frozen, deal with all the nonsense that goes along with that process. Before 2015, executors could provide the government with an amount they had calculated as the estate's value when applying for probate without proof. So it was so much easier before the rules changed in 2015. You didn't even have to provide proof, which is amazing. So I get this, I hear a lot of times when we do our presentations. By the way, the roadshow, the Avoid Probate Roadshow, is available for presentations. We are booking shows around the province for service clubs and all kinds of organizations and church groups and book clubs and whatever it happens to be. You know, let us know if you're interested in booking the Avoid Probate Roadshow. But inevitably, you know, I'll ask the question, has anybody here been through probate at all? Anybody have firsthand experience? And hands go up, of course. And then I always want to know, well, was it pre-2015 or post-2015? Because it's night and day. Like I said, before 2015, you submitted your payment for probate without even having to need proof as to why you came up with that number. Certainly that's changed, and it's changed because of this new form, the estate information return, which most people are not going to complete by themselves. So in contrast, the estate information return, it's not a tax return, by the way, it's a provincial form, requires an executor to provide the fair market value of each category of estate asset as of the deceased date of death, as well as other information. For example, for bank or investment accounts, the executor must provide account numbers, branch information, and the name and contact details of the financial advisors. Holy, like that could be a challenge. I'm doing these transfers normally from the bank to an insurance company so we can open up a new account and put beneficiaries on the account to avoid the probate. I can hardly find out, you know, this information, who the advisor is and the contact information and things like that. It's a challenge for me, and I do it every day. Imagine if, you know, someone's on the other side of the country because you've named your child in BC as an executor, and they've got to do this and list this information. The list goes on. Aside from that information that's required, you know, for real estate, the executor must provide the property's assessment roll number. Good luck. You know, who knows the property roll number? I get it. It's on tax slips. The property identifier number, the address, lots of details, information, detailed information required. There is a guide that goes along with this form. Of course, the government provided a guide, and I've referenced this guide before. I want to do it again, though, real quick. It was a few weeks ago, because it's shocking what it says with regard to bank accounts. The bank account section that needs to be completed in this form by the executor. It says, enter the information. This is a direct quote from the guide for this form. Enter the information about each bank account owned by the deceased from all financial institutions anywhere in the world. Anywhere in the world. That's what it says. So that's crazy talk. So much so, I have conferred with the numerous lawyers on the Avoid Probate team, and they all agree with me that this provincial guide is wrong. That is not required. You do not have to list, what did I say, the financial institutions anywhere in the world for probate purposes. But can you imagine how many people just follow the guide? You know, of course you're going to follow the guide. It was issued by the province and attached to this document. So I hate to think how many people have wrongly or mistakenly, I guess. I get it. It's not your fault. That's what it says to do right in the guide. But now you're paying probate on assets in other countries that you didn't have to pay probate on. You know, I don't think the government's going to turn around and say, oh, sorry, Mr. Smith, there you overpaid us. You know, you made a mistake. We don't really care about the money in New Zealand or wherever it happens to be. So I thought that was interesting. What it does, though, you know, this form, again, really puts the estate trustee to the test in terms of justifying the numbers that they submitted on the original application for probate. Remember, when you submit that application initially for probate, you're submitting your fee up front in advance, and then you wait for the application to be processed, and you wait and you wait and you wait and you wait some more. Some of the provinces also levy substantial probate fees. I say Ontario is the highest, but none of them have introduced a compliance program similar to Ontario's. Lucky for us. Executors must file their estate information returns with the Ministry of Finance within 180 days of receiving the probate certificate. This number changed because initially when the rules were introduced in 2015, the deadline was 90 days, but the people were losing their minds because it was something new, and 90 days just wasn't nearly enough, and there was a lot of pressure for the government to expand on that, and they caved. They caved in to their credit. They doubled the time period required for the return to be completed. But still, it can still be a challenge to get it done in time. And if an audit determines that the estate's value was underestimated, the estate is liable for the additional tax. However, if the executor fails to file the EIR, the estate information return, files it late or makes false or misleading statements on the return, they can be fined $1,000 and up to twice the probate tax payable by the estate. They can be imprisoned for up to 2 years. Crazy. Go to jail over this stuff, trying to be a good son and help, you know, sell your mom's estate. You go to jail. Kind of makes me laugh. Or both. So prison, fines, or both, depending on somebody's mood on the day, I guess. The government can assess or reassess late filed returns at any time. Anytime. There's no statute of limitation. The government has the power. If you're late, you've opened that, you know, you've opened that door and you can't close it. So they can reassess you anytime. If you're not late, they still have up to 4 years to do the reassessment, which is crazy. And, you know, we talked about one of the other advantages to avoiding the probate process. We've talked about this before, is you avoid a public process and you move over to a private process. So if you're worried about privacy, and there's good reasons to be worried about your privacy, well, that's something else you should consider when it comes to avoiding probate. Because like I said, probate is a public process. It being a court process, by definition, it's public. But when we move, when we do the transfer from the bank to the insurance company, put the beneficiaries on it, avoid the probate process, that process, once you've passed away and the estate gets settled through the insurance company using those named beneficiaries, that does not become public. That stays private and protects your privacy. Because it's important to know that the Minister of Finance has the authority to share that information contained in the estate information in return with other branches of the provincial government or with the federal government. So it's not just a matter of somebody being able to go to the courthouse and pull up your will and your estate documents, which can happen. We've talked about that before. But the different branches of government can share the information as well. So once again, another reason to avoid the process altogether. So that's why I wanted to share that article, because, you know, there's so many good reasons to avoid the probate process altogether. Sometimes we can avoid it 100%. Sometimes we cannot. It's very rare that we can't avoid any of it. So let's avoid as much as we can. That's the way I look at it. I mean, avoiding any amount of it is better than nothing. And that's what we determine when we have the consultations. So getting back to the fact that there's no charge for the consultation, give us a call. We'll set up a date and time that's convenient for you and your siblings and your parents or whoever you want to be in the meeting. The more the merrier. It always works better when there's more ears there to share and absorb. There's a lot of information to absorb. Almost every time we sit with new clients, you know, the reaction we get is, oh, it's so complicated. And it's kind of, I find it a bit of a paradox, because I'm going into the meeting with the goal of simplifying the situation, but it seems to be complicated at the time. But we work with you through every step of the process, make sure you understand what's going on, make sure you know why we're suggesting this and that, and, you know, we can explain it all, but it takes time. And that's why it's different than just hearing the show on the radio every Sunday morning. I'm glad you're listening. Thanks for tuning in on this Sunday morning. We will be back right after this quick break and talk about mailbag stuff.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this.
You know, June is birthday month at Tom's Place. We celebrate all month long. Tom's 67th birthday is June 7th. Annette's big day is June 9th. And finally, Tom Jr. celebrates on the 13th. Throw in Father's Day and Canada Day, and you've got a month-long party. We know how to celebrate with birthday deals like 100% wool suits from $167. Selected dress and casual pants, along with shirts, just $67. Sports jackets starting at $167. Plus, many more deals all month long. Don't just be a spectator. Get in on the fun. Join the party and head over to Tom's Place. They're located at 190 Baldwin in the heart of Kensington Market. Give yourself a present this June with a birthday deal on men's brand name business attire. The Tom's Place June birthday deals have been extended one more week. Tom's Place will suit you.
We'll be right back. This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of avoidprobate.ca.
Welcome back to our final segment to this week on the Avoid Probate Show with Ted Wallachin and Jason Laidler. And as a reminder, and you'll see why I'm emphasizing as a reminder, please send us your questions and your comments, but send them to us at info@avoidprobate.ca. info@avoidprobate.ca, or you can call us 1-844-667-7628. 1-844-667-7628. Because if you go through the station, there's a chance that we may not get that question, and it could take a little longer than it should. So your best bet is to go directly to us, info@avoidprobate.ca, or 1-844-667-7628. That is a toll-free number. Jason?
Yeah, okay, Ted. Thanks for that. Thanks for emphasizing that point. And one of the reasons why Ted was making that emphasis is because he's going to share an email that we received from a listener. Happy to get these emails, of course. Thank you very much for taking the time to write into us with your questions or comments. I guess this is more of a comment. But this one was emailed to the station directly. We ended up getting it. It's just a little more time-consuming and complicated, a roundabout way for us to get the emails. If you're emailing the station, it's better just to email us, like Ted said, at that info@avoidprobate.ca. Ted, you've got an email there. Go ahead. Let's.
Yep. It says, I am currently listening to the Avoid Probate Show. They just mentioned payment to the funeral home. Our mom died in March 2023, and the funeral home wanted payment on the spot and must be paid before the funeral. My niece paid with her credit card. The laws have not changed because when my dad died in 2010, we had money orders to pay the funeral home prior to the funeral.
Yeah. So again, interesting feedback. Thanks again for taking the time to share it. We were talking about this last week, I believe, here on the Avoid Probate Show. We cover various topics all related to probate in some way, or hopefully avoiding probate, I should say. I know for a fact that, I'm not disputing what this listener says, that it was required by that particular funeral. She did name it. I'm not going to name it, of course, on the radio. But, you know, that's unfortunate, I guess, in that case. But I can say with certainty, personal experience, just last year, you know, I went in to make a payment for a funeral service for my stepfather. And it was after the fact. And my biological father passed in 2019. I was his only child. I paid for that as well after the fact. It's certainly not a law. And I just say that because she makes a point of saying, I think it's a female writer, the laws have not changed. There's no laws that dictate when funeral homes need to get paid. Now, they're just a regular business like any other business service. Obviously, they want payment, of course, for the services they provide. They provide a valuable service. We all know that. And I guess in this particular case, they wanted it up front, and I think that's a case-by-case scenario. I happen to know a gentleman who owns a funeral parlor. They still call them parlors, Ted? Funeral home? Funeral parlor? Anyway, I know he's not always paid in advance, and sometimes I know he's not paid at all. So just like any other service, there are, what do you call it, there's accounts receivables, and there's rotten accounts, or whatever you call it. So accounts that don't ever get collected, unfortunately. Again,
delinquents.
Yeah, delinquent accounts. But, you know, that happens in business, I think, across the board. It's part of doing business. And I just wanted to share that for those reasons. Thanks again to listener for writing. Don't hesitate if you got comments or questions. We want to hear it. Like Ted said, the other thing I wanted to talk about real quick was an interesting meeting with new people. I call them new people because, again, I don't like to refer to them as clients. Because when we have the consultation, the no-charge consultation I mentioned earlier, you're not a client, you know, at the beginning of that consultation. We want you to become a client. That's the goal, so that we can help you and your family avoid probate as much as possible. In this meeting, the lady was explaining to me that she already has investments at an insurance company. Remember, the solution, part of the solution that we want to employ here involves a transfer of the money from the bank over to an insurance company, put beneficiaries on it. I know I've said it a couple times already today, but I got to say it over and over and over again. We're not talking about life insurance, by the way. And it was interesting. And I have to explain that just because the investments are at the insurance company today, that doesn't mean they're going to avoid probate. The insurance company have lots of investment options, and you've got to have the right type and the right setup. And we see it all the time where I'll sit down and I'll see, I don't want to name insurance companies, but pick one at random, anyone that comes to mind, and I'll see it on the statement, the logo, and I'll say, can I have a look at that, please? And I look at it, and it's not going to avoid probate because of the way it's been set up. And that's not a criticism or a complaint of the insurance company at all. In fact, it's good. Like, the insurance company has that many options, but we are focusing on the solution to avoiding probate using a particular type of investment product available at the insurance company. There are others. So I don't want listeners to think that just because they already have money at any of our big insurance companies, that doesn't mean it's going to avoid probate. It also, like, you can have your TFSA at an insurance company, but there might not be a beneficiary on it. And why do I say that? Because we see it all the time. People say, yeah, I've got a TFSA. It's a registered account. Therefore, you can put a beneficiary on it because it's a form of a registered account, but it doesn't mean there is one. And I wish, I keep saying this to our listeners over and over and over again, check your statement. Make sure that there actually is a name beside beneficiary on your TFSA statement. And if there isn't, you've got to fix that, because it can avoid probate simply by naming somebody. Otherwise, it will be probated. And the fact that it's at an insurance company is not, you know, you can't make the assumption. So I wanted to make that point very clear. That's it for today, Ted. It was a big show, busy show. Great update from Debbie Stanton, as usual. Thanks to Debbie for the update. Thanks to Kelly. Kelly was working extra hard today. The listeners don't realize what, you know, when we have technical difficulties, we have to rely on Kelly to make it right and save us. And she did that today. Of course, the listeners hopefully don't realize. That's the whole idea, right? It's meant to sound like seamless and professional. I hope we sounded professional today, Ted.
Technical difficulties exist because we should point out, I mean, today's program is being done via Zoom.
Yes, that's right. We're not in the studio today.
Yes, not in the studio today. So, and you do run into problems. Anytime you bring any technology into play, there's a chance that something could go wrong.
Yes, a good chance.
Yes.
As Ted knows.
Yeah, and we did have a couple of those situations occur. But we, through the grace of God and the brilliance of Kelly Robotham, we managed to save the day.
Thank you, Kelly.
For that, we were very appreciative.
We didn't have to play a repeat show, which we do from time to time when we have vacations and sickness and things like that. But nope, this is a real one. This one's hot off the presses. Thank you for joining us today. Thanks to Ted Walshen for his decades of radio excellence. We'll do it again next Sunday. Ted, you want to talk about your podcast this week real quick?
Yeah, it's available. You can go to www.tedwalshen.ca, and there you will find the latest podcast and all of our shows that we've done for this September will be 2 years for us, so we've got all kinds of great stuff available for you to listen to. This week's show, I can't tell you what it is because it has not been recorded yet.
It's top secret.
It's top secret. That's right. Top secret. Can't tell you because it hasn't been recorded yet, because we're waiting on a. This is another one of these situations where the guests that we're booking, because we also do it via technical. We use a different system called Riverside, but it's like Zoom. So we're waiting for the confirmation for the guests as to whether or not they will be in a position to utilize the equipment that they have on hand. And so until we get that confirmed, I can't tell you who it is because I don't want to promote something that may not be there. How's that?
That's
great. In the meantime, you can check out all the podcasts that we have done in the past and pick out some people that you might want to listen to us interview. We've had some nice chats with people. And we thank you for doing that and for being with us again this week. And again, a great thanks to all the people at Sunrise out in Pooslinch near Guelph, the therapeutic riding facility. Just a terrific time we had last week. So thanks to them. Thanks to you. And have a great week.
Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
You've been listening to an exclusive podcast of Avoid Probate with Jason Laidler. Heard every Sunday at 8 a.m. on Zoomer Radio. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.